You're listening to the podcast, Carlos Avalon, My Music, My Life. Thank you for tuning in. And now, here's your host, Carlos Avalon.
I should have asked you for your number, and if you'd like for me to go.
Hello there. I apologize. Last episode, I mentioned that I'd have a guest, but our schedule couldn't work out to record or get together in time for this episode. So my friend Ken McBride, colleague at Harris Casinos, great singer Ken McBride himself, will be on my next episode. But for this one, I figured, have you ever wondered, how did I get my performing style? Well, I may have been born with music and some artistry in me, but I know how I got my style in the kind of music that I like, and that kind of was the influence was listening to what mom and dad like to hear on the radio, the kind of stations they listened to or the kind of music they liked, ballads, easy listening kind of songs. And of course, then listening to the kind of music dad was playing in his band back in Portugal. The name of the band was interesting. It was very famous, and it was called Sem Rei Nem Rock. That's in my native Portuguese. It sounds kind of harsh, but in English it translates to, it doesn't kind of sound as catchy, but it's no king, no rock. I guess no king, Saint-Rey, met, they don't have a band leader, they don't have a king. They're all an ensemble, and each of them is the leader of the band. And no rock, yes, by that time, all the late 50s, 60s rock stars from Europe and America, France, all the, well, Europe, were already being played all over Portuguese radio, but we didn't listen to those stations, and Dad's band didn't play rock and roll. They were still doing ballroom dancing style of music and played the Sinatra, the Bing Crosbys, the Glenn Miller, Jimmy Dorsey, Benny Goodman. That band, Dad's band, was actually the band playing the oldies even back then. And that's the music I grew up listening to. We came to America. Dad joined an orchestra here. It was played primarily, well-known in the Portuguese community in California, called Orquestra Lisboa, the Lisbon Orchestra, and they were playing the oldies. Then in 1968, we started my own band. Well, our band, it was all of us. We were the band. And my brothers, my buddy Joe, George Louis, cousin Louis, our band, well, it was called Azor 68. Dad took the name from the idea of Brazil 66. And Dad was our teacher, our mentor, and although we were in our teens, and two members were even younger, we started playing the music Dad's band played. It was actually a bit of a niche for us. I mean, here are these young kids playing a tango, a rumba, a waltz, a cha-cha-cha, and so on. I often say on the stage that while my peers in junior high were listening to the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, the Beach Boys, I was listening to Lawrence Welk. But it's true. By the time I went on my own as a solo artist, I kind of knew the kind of music I liked and I felt. And I was already singing in Azor 68. But as I was developing my style, because I knew by then, I 2 years into Azor 68, I knew I wanted, that's what I wanted to make a living as. I wanted to eventually go solo, become my own show, and become a singer and do nothing else but grow and make a living in the entertainment business. And there were five artists that were the biggest influence. See, back then, they had their TV shows, fortunately, so I got to see them on TV. And then we had a great theater in the San Francisco Bay Area, super famous, called the Circle Star Theater. And although I did go to college for a little bit, the career took me out of college. It took off, and I say often now, so often on stage, that when I went to Mom and Dad and said, Mom, I got to drop out of college because there's all these bookings. I've got Hawaii coming up, contracts coming up. And most parents would say, no way, you stay in college, do college first. Mom and Dad said, right on, forget college, go and perform and do your shows. But I did go to Ohlone, to Chabot College, to even later on Atlantic Cape Community College in New Jersey. But the college I truly went to was called the Circle Star Theater. That's where I saw the five performers that I had already seen on TV in their own shows, or as guests on TV shows, but they were touring all the time, and I went to see all their shows whenever they'd come through the Bay Area. First, Tom Jones. Second, Engelbert Humperdinck. Third, Andy Williams. Wayne Newton, the fourth that I caught later and became a super influence, and even Anthony Newley. So Tom Jones had hits. And believe it or not, I was very shy on stage with Azor 68. And we didn't have a singer, which is why it worked that we were doing the instrumental stuff that Dad's band had been doing, which it fit the style for ballroom dancing, a tango. You don't need to be singing a tango. Yeah, we did it all just an instrumental. But Tom came out with a hit that just naturally, when I started hearing and knowing how the music and lyrics were, it was no effort. I just started belting it out and singing it along with Tom Jones, whether this song came on the radio, or of course I bought the record. I'd sing it in our rehearsal room. And then the family heard me singing it. They're like, wow, you sound great. That fits you. What a voice. They had never heard me sing. And so the song was Delilah. Yes, my Delilah. That was the first song that gave me a little confidence. Thank you, Tom Jones. And that was the first time Azor 68, I actually sang on stage. Brother George had already started singing. He did a lot of the Donny Osmond stuff because his voice had not matured yet. It was the young Donny Osmond stuff. And my sister had come up, but I became the official singer of the band because of Delilah. And then I went on to do the Green Grass of Home. Then I went on Engelbert, please release me, let me go. And Andy Williams had just come out with Love Story, the theme from Love Story. I started singing that. Then he did the theme from The Godfather. Speak softly, love, and hold me warm. Actually, I just released that as a single on piano. We'll talk about how the piano came in to being a little bit later. And then Wayne Newton. But when I saw these guys perform, what I liked about them is they weren't just there singing their songs. Sure, I saw many artists at the Circle Star Theaters that I love and amazing artists, but like Johnny Mathis pretty much stands and sings his songs. Even one that I love, a Brazilian artist, Roberto Carlos, stands and sings. Great orchestra, great show, but these other guys that influenced me were entertainers. They didn't just sing their songs. They performed their songs. They were all over that stage. They were showmen and they were entertainers. And that's what I actually felt. Had I not seen them, how they did it, how they do it, I probably would have been reluctant to, because wait a minute, you know, am I getting too dynamic here, too aggressive here? No. After seeing them and Wayne Newton, I was no longer afraid. I was feeling it naturally, but they told me, in essence, yes, you can. So my college education was the Circle Star Theater, and my professors were Tom Jones, Engelbert, Andy, Wayne Newton, and yes, Anthony Newley. Because my mom, I remember saying when I did some of my songs on stage, I got pretty dramatic and very theatrical with it. And maybe I thought, that's what I feel. And am I overdoing it? But then I saw Anthony Newley. And all his performance is very theatrical and very, dramatic. And I said, oh, okay, he does it. I can do what I feel and not feel that I'm overdoing it. So thank you, Mr. Newley. I got to meet all of them, except for, Mr. Humperdinck, Mr. Newton, Mr. Newley. I have not yet met Tom Jones, and now I'll never meet Andy Williams. And I say Mr. because whenever I meet one of those people that I idolize, people think they know the entertainer. I don't. When I'm meeting them, I've always, and the few times I've seen Mr. Humperdinck afterwards, I always address them as Mr. because they deserve that respect. And that's how I was raised. You call someone that's, you know, has done more than you, older than you, or whatever, by Mr. And, and I got noticed by Engelbert by saying Mr. He says, Engelbert. And so by the time I went to my first booking as a solo act, my own show in Hawaii at the Naniloa Surf Hotel, as Carlos Avila, that was before I became Avalon. If you were watching that show, you were seeing vestiges of Tom, Engelbert, Andy, and Wayne, and Anthony Newley. Much later on, I had already seen him at the Circle Star Theater, but he wasn't a big influence because although I had taken piano lessons as a child, the piano was not a part of my act. But I saw Liberace live in Lake Tahoe in 1983 while I was performing at the Sundowner Hotel and Casino in Reno, Nevada. And we had a connection. I was invited backstage to meet Liberace. We have a photo on my website. And I was talking to him. He was talking most all the other people by the bar in his suite backstage were just drinking, and I got a few moments alone with him right by the sofa. I can see it right now. And he was asking about my show, because we were all entertainers that went backstage. And I said, oh, yeah, I play a little piano. You're so amazing. And my uncle, family members have been fans of yours forever. I first saw you at the Circle Star Theater with my uncle Emilio. And so he said, I told him, I guess I don't, the piano is not part of the act. He said, why not? I remember that song. Why not? Piano is beautiful. You play piano. Why do you just, I forget exactly how, but I remember, why not? Why not play, why don't you play piano? And after that, it all changed for me because my show at the Sundowner closed and I started doing like more piano work and then started actually, because what I found that by bringing the piano and developing the piano skills again was that even if my shows weren't booked, I could get a job at any restaurant anywhere and still keep working as just a pianist. And then I incorporated the piano into the show. And what made me have successful 80s and 90s at Harrah's Casinos, Bally's, a little stint at Bally's in Las Vegas, was the fact that I was different. I was a pianist that had piano medleys. Up front, I was a singer. I never, very rarely would I sing and play at the same time. I had, of course, the band. And so that became the style. Unlike the Billy Joels and the Elton Johns that play and sing, my act was the vocal songs are up front, the piano songs are big virtuoso piano medleys or songs. And what did I learn most from Wayne Newton was that big instrumental medley he does, that he plays all the instruments. Well, even before the piano came along, before Liberace inspired me, I learned from Wayne Newton that, wait a minute, he does a medley playing all these instruments. I play accordion, I can play marimbas, I can play a little keyboard because we didn't have a piano on stage back then. I can play even drums. So I incorporated into my act an instrumental medley. And that was the teacher and the coach for that one, indirectly coach, was Mr. Wayne Newton. What a showman. And it's just amazing. And I've never, it was a copy. I was never impersonating anybody. But to all of you young entertainers, singers out there, it shows to you that you maybe can learn one little thing from me if you see me perform, you new artists coming along. Listen, find artists that you like, learn something from them, because Lord knows I did, and I would not be the performer that has survived for, it's almost 50 years, and that you, my listeners, have most likely enjoyed through the years. Now you know how it all came together. And it was the college education with these great teachers to inspire me. And the biggest influence, the people that influenced me the most. And sure, at the Circle Star Theater, I saw many other artists, Paul Anka, Bobby Vinton, another one that does a section of the show of medleys of playing different instruments. Bobby Vinton, Paul Anka, Sammy Davis Jr. It was with him that I wanted to incorporate a little dancing into my act, which I did at one time. So these great entertainers were so much a part of making me the performer I am today. Look them up online. Listen to some of their songs. Listen to Delilah. Look up Engelbert. Listen how these Andy Williams, how they perform a ballad. How they're just amazing. And I hope you'll go and look them up and find their songs. I wish I could play some of them, but I can't because they're cover songs, as I say all the time. I can only play my own songs on my or songs that my guest or myself own outright, copyright, publishing, etc. Folks, I hope you learned a little bit about me in this next episode. The guest will be Ken McBride himself. And if you like what you hear, of course, I don't the episode and the podcast. It takes a little. It needs your support. So if you like me to keep going, just go to buymeacoffee.com/CarlosAvalon. And that's it for now. See you next time.
Thank you for listening. Please join us again in 2 weeks for another episode of Carlos Avalon, My Music, My Life.
Now each night I sit and pray that you'll come back to me someday.